So I have the great opportunity this year, as opposed to the last, I don't know, at least 10 years I've been teaching in the yeshiva. So I've never had the opportunity to teach during this week. And I think it's a great opportunity. So first of all, I want to dedicate our learning, number one, to Ezra's grandmother, Leah Basfega. Unfortunately, was just diagnosed with COVID. And unfortunately, so many people that I know, the great Rabbi Marcus, my wife's Rav, as well, Shavu Refuah Shleimah, there's so many people that I'm thinking of now, unfortunately, who are sick. The Rabbanu Shalom should send them Refuah Shleimah, Soch Shachal Yisrael. We should continue thinking in our mind that this isn't something we just say one kapitel tehillim. Something we should continue to be diving for. The Rabbanu Shalom takes away this horrible, horrible makkah, this magefa from us. Let the refuah be found, or even better, let it just go away and show the strength of the Rabbanu Shalom just as it came and can go away. So, the opportunity, as we know, I try to discuss here a mix, halacha, business, things of that nature. And a great opportunity came. First of all, this morning, my wife and I made a decision not to go to the supermarket. Apparently, the supermarket's having like 2-hour waits to get in. So we said, forget it. We don't need food for Yontif. So I said, okay, I'm going to teach. And we'll try to figure out later how we're going to survive. But it gave me an opportunity to teach here. And I thought I would give you a double message today about business, because I think if I was to define the number one holiday for business people, it would be the holiday of Sukkot. And that because the ultimate lesson of Sukkot, of course, is that we're not in control. Certainly what COVID has taught us. You know, on the big lessons from the Lev, you guys now are on it, so you can see. So we spoke about this idea, the differences between Pesach, the differences between Pesach and Sukkot. And they appear to be very, very similar, because the Gemara makes a hekesh between them, Gemara Kedushin Lamedalad, Gemara and Sukkah, and says Tesvav, Tesvav, they're the same, but they're so different from each other. Because Pesach is really the opposite. It's the businessman sitting back and relaxing and having, you know, the washing basin brought to him. He's wearing a kittel. He's leaning. The most beautiful kalim are out. He feels like $1 million. And Sukkot is the opposite, right? It's, you know, if you obviously you guys have experienced at least one Sukkot before in Eretz Yisrael, probably more than one. It's hot. It's hot. It's 90 degrees outside. It's not fun to be sitting outside. It's the last thing you want to do. And of course, we experienced this during the time of COVID now that we're davening outside. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, but all minyanim are outside now. And it's hard. It gets hot, especially when it's mincha time. That shows that Hashem is in ultimate control. The businessman's challenge in life is a lot of times he thinks he's in control. Famous line, kochim v'otzim, otzim yadi asu Hashem esachayel. A lot of times he thinks, it's me, all me. The reason why my company's doing so well is because of my smartness. But ultimately, anybody who realizes anything, you could say something. Yeah, but you could say something. No. Yeah. The doesn't mean you can't. Don't just because I'm recording. Just pretend there's nobody in the room. You know why Torah's not in the room. And the ultimate level. I mean, I'll be more careful what I say, obviously. But the ultimate level is recognizing that it's not all coming from. And it's a very hard thing. And I was just mentioning this to a friend of mine. I've seen in my business experience in life, unfortunately, well too often, where people who are my business acquaintances, some of them used to be friends of mine, it gets to their head. And when we try to do something together, collecting money for tzedakah, or stam wishing them a good yontif, right? Rosh Hashanah, I was very upset at the amount of people I sent a personal message to on WhatsApp, and they didn't respond to me. Most of them were, you know, important business executives. Not you guys. You guys, you have nothing to do. I would never send you a greeting for it. I'm just, so, you did. It was very nice of you, Moshe. So why is that? Right? I always try very, very hard that if somebody's looking for a job, I try to at least send his resume to one person. Somebody who I think, because I know I could be in the same, so maybe it's because, you know, I don't believe in myself. And no, it's because I have emunah. Sukkot is the holiday of Emunah. It's sitting out and looking up in Shemayim saying, can you imagine if I was sleeping here? If I had to sleep every night outside, it's not the easiest thing in the world. One of the challenges, which I want to just take on the other side, the halachic part that I wanted to speak about, is something I actually spoke about in some of the other shurim. I actually did not bring my notes today because, as I said, very impromptu. I literally left my house and just called Rav Paltiel. I said, hey, can I come teach? He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And so yesterday I spoke about the shir I never gave before, and that's doing malach on Chol HaMoed. And I'll say something very controversial now, very controversial. But it's going on Y Torah, so it's okay. They could kick me off. I don't care. And that is, I'm sure they thought about it before. And even though I was top three a few weeks ago. Okay, anyway. And that is that there are certain things that I believe, and I'm putting out my, especially today, because I left so quickly, I'm still wearing the polo shirt. You know, I like to machabed you with a nice button-down shirt, but I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of sukkah preparation. Yeah, please. They don't pay me enough to have button-down shirts. Okay, anyway. So, we spoke yesterday, I spoke to some of the guys about this challenge, because modern Orthodoxy has come very, very far. And I'm putting myself in this category, right? I'm dressed just like you. And it's come far because the underpinnings of it initially, there was a lot of compromise. And I told the story to the guys. It's a very funny story, but it's an amazing story about how to be a good teacher. The worst job you could have, in my opinion, in school is being a substitute teacher, especially in high school. Because, like, get out of here. So I remember a substitute teacher coming in high school, and in Hafter, and the substitute teacher comes in, and he's like, hi, I'm going to be teaching you, and he's this frummy-looking guy, you know, with a black hat. We're like, dude, we're going to kill this guy. Literally. Like, literally. We're thinking about how can we kill, you know. And he writes on the board the following term. Modern Orthodoxy equals compromise. And some of the guys look at him and go, the hell is that? What are you doing? What? So we didn't walk out. We said, what? No, it's not. And he says, what? So he says, what? What? And we start arguing with him. And he was the smartest guy ever, because now, this is probably the only class I ever remember in high school, and I remember the discussions back and forth. And he was just doing it just to rile us up, and we were defending ourselves and saying, what do you mean? It's not compromise. That was such a smart idea. Yes, it was this. And for an hour, we're discussing Torah, probably more than I ever discussed with my Rebbe who was sick that day. And what was the concept? What was his mindset? Is that really a true statement? Is it true that there are certain halachas that modern Orthodoxy basically said, this doesn't apply to us? Again, we've come very far, right? And growing up, I was amongst the few people who had a father who was very learned. And I was a very cool guy when I came before a Torah test. Certainly Gemara, because everybody would call me, and they would be like, "What'd your father say?" You know, we didn't have art school those days, you know. And I don't know if you ever saw this. There's an English translation called Sancino, which is really Sancino, but they come from Italy, and Sancino interpretation was impossible to read because it was like where is he? The British, it was British English. It's like fall that I la you fucking to the I queen. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? So my father would explain the Gemara to us. And it wasn't a cool thing. Nobody learned Torah. Torah was not a modern Orthodox thing. Daf Yomi became more popular. People thought like learning was about like a rabbi, he's the learner. And between Mincha Ma'ariv on Shabbos, that's when everybody learned Torah once a week. We've come very far. Minyan, come very far. Used to not be. There used to be a schedule of when you had to go to Minyan. And the youngest are Woodmere now that has, I don't know, you know, 1,800 members or whatever. And then there are certain halachas that, like, I don't know where they went. And I don't blame modern Orthodoxy for this as well. We also have seen this, the ideas of snius, both in men and women. I always like to say, it's not just a woman. Women halachas involves dress, but men's halacha also. What we watch, what we talk, what we say, that's snius. And all of a sudden it became, and I pointed this out in the business world as well, where you go to a business meeting, and you have a guy who's wearing a yarmulke, but he's modern, he's wearing a nice suit, and all of a sudden he's cursing. I'm like, dude, take your yarmulke off. What are you doing? First of all, in general, I found in business, normal people don't curse. It's not, just so you know, it's not something you do in the business world. You don't go to a big businessman and close a deal and start cursing. Like, it's not, even within context, it's not normally done. So this isn't a comedian. We're not, you know, going to see Eddie Murphy or whatever, whoever you're, you know. So one of the areas which I wanted to suggest was the area of Chol HaMoed. Right, Chol HaMoed is the perfect Jewish term, because I believe in total confidence a Jew is schizophrenic. We're schizophrenic, and I'll explain to you the number one reason why we're schizophrenic, because in davening we literally say, "Anachnu ofer ve'efer," we're nothing. "Anachnu no nidam manas," what should we do? And then we call ourselves the Amma Nivchar, we're B'nai Malachim. Which one is it? And the answer is both. Right? The famous, you should have two p'takim, you should have two, you know, one pocket, you should have pockets. One pocket says, "Ani ofer ve'efer," I'm nobody, and the other one says, "You know, Bishvili Nivra Olam." We're schizophrenic. So what's schizophrenic about the word that's called Chol and Moed? Which one is it? We understand Shabbos. We understand Yontif. But now all of a sudden this weird day called Chol and Moed comes out, and it's Chol and it's Moed. So which one is it? So some people made a decision. I pick Chol. And the Hasidim said, I pick Moed. Right? So the Hasidim walking around during Chol and Moed, you go to the zoo or, you know, the places that all the Jews show up. Right? They're wearing Chashtraimalach, and you're like, oh, this is so embarrassing. You know, like, right? You're embarrassed to be, and you're wearing your baseball hat. Nobody's going to know you're Jewish. And then all of a sudden, a Hasidic guy comes up to you. Minche. Like, how do you know he's Jewish? Like, you're wearing a Yankees cap. Stop it, you loser, right? But they took it to the extreme. It's a Maye. So which one is it? So the answer is it's in the middle. It should be. And that's, by the way, what modern Orthodoxy should be. Here in Israel, because of the Hebrew language, but we call ourselves Dati Lumi. I like it better because the word Orthodox is first, right? It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be, I'm modern Orthodox. Sometimes I'm modern and sometimes I'm Orthodox. Depends the day. I woke up this morning, I'm modern. You know, no, it doesn't work like that. You know, like the bar mitzvah line. Sometimes it's more bar than mitzvah. That's not the way that it should be. You like it. I got a lot more. Okay, fine. So Chol HaMoed should be, and that's what the Rambam's, by the way, idea. Rambam says we should have the Shvil Hazav. Should always be a middle guy. No extreme. Don't go to the extremes. Right, I give you the extreme. Right? I said this to the guys as well, but I'll say it again. I was learning this wonderful sefer. It's such an amazing. I love the sefer. Rav Moshe Harari. He's a America Zarav, Tzioni Rav, and he has a sefer called Mikroi Kodesh. All the halachas of the holidays. And here in Halachas Sukkos, like this is the typical thing that people take to the extreme. In Eretz Yisrael, the night after Yom Kippur, in Mirtz Hashem, you know, everybody's in a good state, and you're supposed to go right to building the sukkah. This year, Baruch Hashem, my fast was easy, my kids, and all of a sudden, right after, all my kids were like, let's go to the sukkah and build it. I'm like, wow, this is the first time I didn't have to do it myself, and we started building the sukkah. So what do you start to hear? It's so nice in Eretz Yisrael, right? 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, everybody's building, you know, every Jew thinks that he's a plumber and an electrician, right? And here in Eretz Yisrael, in America, you hire, you know, some non-Jewish guy to fix it, and they go, hey, no problem, forget about it, I built this beautiful parakeet up. Here, we think we can do everything ourselves, right? We electrocute ourselves, and fine. So, says Rav Moshe Harari, be careful, even though that's a halacha that says you should go from mitzvah to mitzvah, don't go crazy, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're still building, and nobody can sleep. That makes no sense. That's the extreme. Don't go to the extreme. The middle, put up a little bit, and tomorrow you do the rest. Chol HaMoed, we have halachas that tell us that malacha should be forbidden. And there are halachas. Unfortunately, I can't go into it, also because I didn't bring my notes. I brought the wrong notes, actually. But, for example, Dover HaAved, which is the number one reason why people like to work. Dover HaAved is something on a miss. Let's say next week, I know I'm sorry to tell you this if you don't know yet, you're going to have yeshiva for the first time in the history of Leva Torah. Chol HaMoed. But the good news is maybe I'll come in. Maybe. Ooh. Yeah. I'm kidding. What am I going to do? I'm dying to get out of my house, guys. I'll do anything. So it's not for the Coke Zero. So Dover HaAved. So for example, you have Shir next week. And I know I see you guys. Everybody's writing notes now, you know, because I have such profound things to say. And you want to take notes. One of the halachas says you're not allowed to write. The halacha says you're allowed to write if it's davar avid. I'm going to miss the notes. Even if somebody asked me, what if you have school? Right? What if you had real, so the answer is you could. It's called davar avid. I want to retain the information. I'm going to do well on the test. That would be mutter. Yeah.
Shouldn't only one person do it then?
No. Good question. Great question. So that shows already that the malachas, again, I think the greatest example given, this is what my mind, if you put this in your mindset, don't listen to anything I say today, this is the mindset you should have. Rav Sobolevsky said this, explaining the Rishpa. There's a machloikis, just so you know, there's a machloikis, Moed Katan Chagiga, about what is Chol HaMoed. And there are most of the Rishonim, Ruba the Rishonim, say it's in the Durabanan. Even though the Psukim use, even though the Gemara uses Psukim in Chagiga and in Moed Katan, they're called Asmachtas Ba'alma. And there are those that hold that it is, right? The Rashbam says, for example, Toisos, for example, says, what do you mean? It's not it is, it's Durabana. Once it's Durabana, we're much more Mako. Rabbi Salusky says, take the Ritva's, this is the example to give it. It's not that it's yuntif or Shabbos and there's a malacha, and we don't get around malacha by saying, yeah, but, you know, I'm still very thirsty, so, you know, I'm going to squeeze oranges and make it. You can't, that doesn't work that way. Well, I'm very, very warm, so I'm going to turn the air conditioning on. No. But on yuntif, we say the following. Chol HaMoed, we say that the point of today is I should be happy on Chol HaMoed. I should have fun. And therefore, we're going to allow you to do malachas l'tzarech hamoed, right? Not l'tzarech hamoed. It's going to be really fun for me to paint my room today. No, that comes with something called zilzol yontif. That's degrading it. Come on, that's not chol hamoed. You just held it up to do it now because you knew you're going to be off this week because Rav Hartstein told you that, you know, if you're a businessman, you really shouldn't be working. And again, that's what I was talking about, the business challenge. Because really, Dover Ovid says the poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein and others. Do I have to go to work? Did my boss say, you need to be in this week? All these Jews are not coming in. You weren't in 2 days Rosh Hashanah. You weren't in Yom Kippur. Now you're not going to be in the first day of Sukkot. The last day, right? Oh, I'm sorry, 4 days. And now you're telling me the 3 days that we actually have in the middle, you're not coming in? This is ridiculous. So that would be Dover Ovid. Fine. But if a guy's a Stama worker, and he's allowed to take vacation, but why would I want to take vacation during Sukkot? I want to take vacation whenever I want to take vacation. Better to take vacation now. Again, unless, not that you will lose money because you can't gain money, that you will actually lose money you currently have. Again, there are heterim, for example, stocks. You know the stock is going to go down, going ahead and selling it and so on. That might be mutter. But again, so let me give you the example that I made up this example, but give you the example. Okay. You are bored one day. It's called a lawyer. You're bored. You have nothing to do, especially you're in a seger. It's Corona, you got nothing to do. So you tell your kids, I just figured out something we could do. I mapped out 1 meter from our house, which you're allowed to go, and I found out there's an apple orchard 970 meters away from here. We're going to pick apples. It's going to be so much fun. So there's a huge malacha. It's a daraisa, picking apples. Again, assuming it's not a daraisa, it's whole night. But why are we doing it? It's fun. Now, you can't tell me it's Letzarech Ochel Nefesh, which is another reason why we would allow it on Chol HaMoed, right? Right? No, nobody's going to argue with me when I say this, right? I have a Baruch Hashem. I secretly, that's not a secret anymore, but I did something against, there's only a few things I'll name that I've done during my marriage that were wrong. But stop the tape. But one of them is my wife is very healthy and she didn't want me to buy a deep fryer. And it was before Pesach, and we had started the very serious lockdown that we had. And I wanted to make my kids happy on Yontif and myself. And so I brought a little mini deep fryer for 79 shekel. And I brought it to the house, and she was upset. So I slept on the couch for a few days. And then she said, as long as you keep it outside. I put it by the barbecue, and that's where it is until today. But you guys know deep frying, right? So if I made schnitzel for you right now in the deep fryer, you would be going nuts. Now, if I made you the same schnitzel and I brought it in tomorrow, it would be delicious, but it wouldn't take anything like that fresh schnitzel. Nothing! So therefore, Ofkol Nefesh allows us, even on Yontif, assuming you're not using electricity and stuff, but you're allowed to cook on Yontif. On Chol HaMoed, we say the same thing with Tzarech Ochel Nefesh. Therefore, I'd be allowed to go to a burger's bar and get so and so. I'm sorry, I don't make you jealous because you're not allowed to leave. But you're allowed to do that. By the way, there's a new restaurant that just opened. It's very strange. I'm literally this close to ordering it, except it was a typical Israeli fashion. They opened yesterday. It's a burger place on Maor. And they have a very high-level hashkacha, Rav Rubin. And I decided I'm going to, as we say, mefaneket ha-yeladim. I'm going to get them something nice. Also, Wednesday is the day that I'm in charge of dinner. So at 4 o'clock, I realized that. And I'm like, we're going to the new place. Right. So I called it. They have, because they just opened, free delivery. So I called, and I had the order. I said to the guy, "So this is so easy. I have three of exactly the same things. They have roast beef sandwiches. Great." So he says, yesh lanu baya. We don't have the Geppetto bread, no bread today, and no roast beef. I'm like, oh, so can I just have lettuce? And so that was it. Anyway, later on that evening, somebody posted, by the way, I just called the Hashkacha of Rabbi Rubin. They said they've never heard of this restaurant. It doesn't have Hashkacha. Oh, yeah. So I know I could have had it. It would have been delicious. Yeah. Anyway. So, sir, that would be mutter. That would be mutter for a person to say, let's start. So what about the apples? But I don't need a bushel of apples. I'm allowed to pick an apple or two. That I could do. Why would it be mutter? It's mutter because, again, take the Ritva's idea, Rabbi Soloski. It's simcha. It's going to draw me to happiness of the day. So it's a fun activity, especially during a lockdown. There's nothing else to do. But me being bored and just going around and picking apples because I'm bored, that would be aser. The same malacha, but one would be mutter, one would be aser. The same would apply, and this is, I really think, a businessman's challenge. It's kind of funny. Is the malacha of haircuts. The Gemara tells us that you're not allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, which we assume includes shaving. We'll see in a moment. Because Zilzul Chol HaMoed. We pointed out Zilzul Yontif. Zilzul is not just to desecrate. It's not nice. It's not nice to the Yontif what you're doing. Come on, it's Yontif. Why are you doing that? Zilzul Yontif might be, by the way, the way that we dress. I told this to the guys. They were very surprised yesterday. Really, on Chol HaMoed, one demonstration that we make to show that it's a different day is we should dress differently. We should. I don't think you have to wear your shtreimel on your bekeshel, like, you know, that, but the chassidim take it and say, no, you wear exactly what you would wear on Yontif. But I would say at least to davening, you should wear what you would wear on Shabbos, a nice white shirt, at least a button-down shirt. People will look at you and they'll say, wow, this guy must be something different about today. What's today? Yes, sir.
What if it's, it would work in some ways the opposite? As in,
what do you mean?
Not look as nice to now wear sweatpants or track pants and a t-shirt, but for the simcha of the day, it's a lot more comfortable, it's a lot nicer to wear that stuff, because you never get to wear that.
Right, so that's what I thought someone said. Someone would take this interpretation of the Ritva, Rabbi Soloski, and say, no, that's simcha to me, is being on my PSP all day. You know, simcha to me is watching Netflix all day. No, so I agree with the point, but I think that is the incorrect interpretation. You should come to understand what Simchas Yontif should be. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, the Rambam is very clear, right? Simcha is, ein simcha for men, ela bebasar v'yayin. So if the yeshiva catches you with a nice bottle of wine, tell them Rav Hartstein said it was okay. Yes. What are they going to do, fire me? Get me fired again. Fine. So, ein simcha, elu bebasar v'yayin, that's simcha. The Rambam wants to manifest what simcha is. You're correct in what you're saying, in principle. Pajamas are very fun for me. But I'm a chubad person, that's not showing that. Then you have this the opposite problem, which is zilzel. I'm denigrating it. I'm doing something that's it's not nice. So listen to this. So one other point, just so I don't forget it, because it's coming to my mind, the notes that I should have brought with me. There's also something called Davar HaAved. Davar HaAved is a big one, right? I'm gonna, right? We pointed out that I'm good, but if it's a Davar HaAved, but it's Maisa Uman, Meleches Uman. So for example, sewing, right? Yesterday I made the mistake. I asked the Shana Aleph two particular shurim, does anybody here know how to sew? And I'm like, oh, I forgot it's Leiva Torah. Of course, everybody knows how to sew, right? So sewing is considered to be a meleches uman. Most people don't know how to sew, actually. And even though you might do it perfectly, you know how to put a button on, you shouldn't sew a button. Because it's called meleches uman, right? So uman means professional labor, something professional. So for example, right, electrical work, if it's letzorach hamoed, like I have no air, my air conditioning is broken in the house, or I have no lights in the house. I mean, you have all different heterim there, even maybe on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they ask a guy to do it, it would be mut. But here you, right? So even though that's melech asuman, but to go ahead and go to have my shoes fixed that I don't need for the moed, that's ulcer, melech asuman. The store should not be open, because it's melech asuman it's called. There are certain ways, a person needs stitches, so we don't say to the doctor, listen, it's melech asuman, by Shabbos, right? So just do the stitches, but do it like in a weird way, right? And then years later, the guy's going to be like, why does it say your D here? I'm like, it's for my name. It was Yontif. I'm not allowed to do it the regular way. So I wrote a D and whatever. No. So we don't say that. So back to our story, right? So just I want to put in there that idea. So it comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara says the following. You know that you're off for a week now. Next week, you're right, it's Chol HaMoed. So you say, what am I going to get a haircut now for? I got no time. I'm building the sukkah on it. I'll do it on Monday. I'll do it on Tuesday. I'll get a haircut. I'll shave then. Comes the Gemara and says, Zilzul Yontif. Zilzul, right? It's not fair to the Yontif. It's disgusting to the Yontif. So therefore, it says, you're not allowed to shave. That's one of, that the Gemara says this. Came along a group of Poiskim and said, well, let's think about what shaving is today. Haircuts, I agree with them. I haven't found. I don't think. Again, there's a wonderful, amazing sefer just on Chol HaMoed that was written. Probably more than one, but one that I know of. And Rav Soloveitchik shared the following idea. Now, I heard this from my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. His yahrzeit is next week. Mirtz Hashem, this might be the first year of my life. I hope I'll be able to come in and give shir on his yahrzeit. It's a big milo for me. I used to give a shir every year in Bergenfield. We had a huge, beautiful Larry Farkas. So he used to have a beautiful Simchas Beis HaShoeva and gave a shir L'Zecher Nishmas Rav Aaron. So Rav Aaron said the following. This, and listen to this. It's awesome. Nowadays, what do we do? We, most of the guys sitting in here, you shave every day, hopefully with a shaver. Another modern Orthodox thing I found, I was very surprised once, unfortunately, I was in a certain community, and I had forgotten my shaver. And I had a big meeting the next day, and I needed to shave. And I called, I'm trying to make the story not what it really what it was, I could tell you the story afterwards, what it really happened, but let's just put it this way. So I called some people who lived in the community who were from and asked them to borrow their shaver. Now, they could have been lying to me, because, you know, a shaver is a personal thing. Now that we know COVID, like, nobody would ever lend a shaver out to anybody. But, and three people said the exact same thing. I'm sorry, I don't shave with a shaver. I use a razor. I'm like, what? It's a daraisa. We'll get back to that razor idea in a moment. But most people use a shaver, and they shave every day. Right? They want to look mechubed. So comes along Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and again, Rav Yosef Dov says, I think, similar thing, and says that when it comes to Zilzul, ain't Zilzul Gadol Mizu. Now it's going to come Chol HaMoed, and I'm not going to shave. I'm not going to look right. I shaved on Erev. Everybody shaved on Erev. That's what we do now. It's not like it used to be. To get a haircut was a whole thing. You had to go down to the river, like, you know, with laundry. You know, I don't do laundry on Chol HaMoed either, but I'm saying it was a big deal. Now, 10 minutes, you go to Yochanan, you know, secretly, shh, don't tell anybody, you know, and Yonatan, and he gives you the, okay, fine. So comes along Rav Aaron, and he says, it's a mitzvah to shave every day. Because that's the covet of the Yontif. I'm assuming you do that every day. If you don't, I get it. Now, this could also be based on the famous tshuva of Yecheskel Landau. This is a very interesting tshuva. But Yecheskel Landau, one of the great, great poskim, matir did for similar reasons. However, and this is a really important part of halacha to know, very, very important, so, so important. Halacha always has to come with an understanding of who wrote the tshuva, right? You have to know, and the times that they lived in. Because there are things, and I heard this from the great son of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Reuven Feinstein, and I had the great schos of sitting next to him at a wedding. And you know how it is, that first, like, 40 minutes, nobody's walking, and they're making the announce, please shut off your cell phones. And I went to get up there and go, please, chasen kala, come down the aisle. Like, what are you doing? Come on, let's go. In Israel, they go right away. It's quick. Okay. So I had a discussion with him. And Rav Reuven Feinstein said to me, you got to be very careful to paskin based on my father's tshuvas, because times change. And he gave me a few examples. He said he wrote this tshuva in 1960, and there was the airplane travel wasn't so popular, and now whatever, it's not important for now. And then he said to me about something that he wrote, and he says, I know the exact tshuva that you're talking about. And he said to me, I was there. The rabbi had asked him about 200 questions. It was 11 o'clock at night. Rav Moshe wanted to go to sleep, but he couldn't tell this rabbi to leave. And there's no, I think he misunderstood what my father was saying. There's no way. Got to be very careful. Very careful. And there are tshuvas that are, excuse me for saying, are just clearly wrong. The beginnings of electricity, some poskim explained how electricity worked, were wrong. We had great gedolim, like the great Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who sat and understood what electricity was. So Rav Yecheskel Landau says that it's mutter. So some want to argue, I heard this from many years ago from Barry Frand, here's the story about Rav Yecheskel Landau. You see, where he lived, in his day, it wasn't such a firm community. Many people were using razors. What's the Isser D'oraisa of using a razor? Is when you shave a kol shehu. Kol shehu would be like if you can pick up your hair right here, that's a kol shehu. That's the Isser D'oraisa. Here, let's say for example, I could grab at it a little bit, but that wouldn't be an Isser D'oraisa. So said Rav Yecheskel Landau, this is just a minhag ba'alma. So now I'm going to have my whole congregation who will listen to me, even though they're not so religious, but they listen to what the rabbi says. And what's going to happen? They're going to now have a weak beard, a week of a beard, and now it's going to be a kol shu, and now they're going to violate the Sadaraisa. So shave every day. I'm not talking about Yom Tov, obviously. So some people say, no, it's because of where he lived, and therefore you can't say that it was mutter. It's hard to believe. Why'd you write the tshuva then? Like, people are going to see the tshuva. This happens sometimes where you know, some people say, no, that's not what he meant, right? That's not... I once had a very strange argument with a great gadol. It was really not the coming of, certainly, me. I should ask him for mechila. I just don't want to say who it is. But he's a famous gadol. I'll just say he's from London. And I was very lucky. One of my stints, I used to work in IDT. So in IDT, when the company was doing really well, and Net2Phone was high and on the New York Stock Exchange, so we had all the gadolim would come visit us because they wanted money. So we would get shirim from the great gadolim. So this gadol came from England, and he was talking about so and so whatever. And I was very surprised with something he had said. And I went up to him, and I said, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman is a Mefarsh Tshuva. And I remember he grabbed my arm. He's much older than I. And he said to me, you are wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. You are ignorant. And it was in front of everybody. And I said, but he goes, yes, but that's not what the tshuva meant. He was talking about this, that, that, that. I'm like, okay, but that's not... I knew Rav Shlomo Zalman Aberg, and he did not say that. And I was like, whoa, calm down, you Brit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So anyway, so okay. So it's true. We could take tshuva a different way. But again, now we'll just do we started with this, I'll end with this. So we have that there are halachas that challenge the business person during Chol HaMoed, for sure, and during the Yom Tov itself. And there are great challenges, but to end off, Sukkos is the ultimate challenge. Because Sukkos is the challenge of, I am not in control. You see, every day of the week, we have a mini Sukkos. Right? It's true. Shabbos. No matter what's happening, and you know, when the clock changes, and Shabbos starts at 4:30, and you're in the middle of a big business deal, it's you know, I call it the Sukkos challenge. It's a mini day. But the good news about it is, okay, you know, it's just Shabbos, and in 25 hours, I'll be fine. But there are people who have lost business deals because of it. But once a year, for an entire week, and we this is maybe another modern Orthodox invention, right? We say, well, the Sukkah is only for eating meals. And what happened there probably is what? Is that because the bracha is only said when we have a koveya suda, when we have a mezoinos, so then we think that the sukkah is not so important for other things. And that's not true, and I violate this just as much. It's hot outside and it's hard. You know, if you want to sit and learn, and you're sitting out there and it's very hard. I get it. I experience it. It's hard. And to sleep in the sukkah, not an easy thing, especially with noise. And I'm an istanist when it comes to these things. I have air conditioning in my room and a fan. I'm crazy. So yeah, but it should really be my dearest keva, right? And especially when you're in a place like America. I don't know. You could tell me. England may be the same thing. And it's cold and it rains. It's always rains. In Israel, it's like a chiddush. Last year, I'm not mistaken, I remember, Rav Shmuel Eliyahu reminded me of this in his daily Dvar Torah. He said, let's not forget what happened last year. So he wanted to learn out that the chesima of our Yom Tov experience is Sukkos. He said, on one hand, we had unbelievable rains. We had it, even on Sukkos itself. So on one hand, we're like, wow, we had a very, very, very good prosperous year as far as rain and trees and fruits. Very, very, we did very well, Baruch Hashem. Right? And the levels of the Kinneret had never seen. But on the other hand, quote unquote, we were kicked out of the sukkah. And look what happened. He said, we're kicked out of the shuls. You know, whatever, any way you want to interpret that, I don't believe we were kicked out. I believe we voluntarily said to the Rebbeinu Shalom, we don't want to infect other people. But in any case, the idea is there. When the weather is what it is, it's like, wow. Like, we never, there are certain things we just can't, like, I'm sorry to say this, but one of the things that really, 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 really bother me about COVID, really bother me, if I haven't told you really enough, is the comparison to the Holocaust. Right? I've heard people give Divrei Torah and say, you know, it was, again, not saying that we're in the Holocaust, but the lockdown is like this. And right in the beginning of COVID, Natan Sharansky said, you know, I know what it is to be in quarantine. I was in jail in the Soviet. I'm like, no, there's nothing like it. And he was being helpful. He was giving tips of how to survive. And it's true. There are a lot of psychological illnesses that have been created, and people are sick, and things are difficult, right? But You know, when you wait online at Ogerad for 2 hours and you go crazy because there's no milk left, it's not the Holocaust, okay? I'm saying people like are crazy. They're like, oh my God, we're not going to. And people are hoarding things because then they're, who knows, right? That Israel's going to run out of food, right? It didn't happen before Pesach. There were no eggs available in Israel. What happened? Because in a month before Pesach, all these smart people said, oh my God, we need eggs. And they threw out tons of idiots that bought all these eggs, right? I actually, Baruch Hashem, got very, very fortunate. It's very funny. I have a friend who lives here in the community. I shouldn't even say this online because it's illegal what I'm about to say. Ooh, interesting, Rav Hostin. And he actually works for a company. I don't understand this, but just he does some medical company. And a lot of the testing they do, I'm not sure why, is with eggs. I don't know what it is, but they use eggs for testing for something. So he has a contract where he gets thousands of eggs a day. So we couldn't get eggs anywhere, the supermarkets. And even when you got eggs, you know, you understand that Pesach is like the holiday of eggs, you know, holiday of eggs and potatoes. So he calls me one day, Daniel, you know, you're looking for eggs, I can get you. So he called this guy and he said, what if I come, I bring my car and I'll get, literally, he got for the, it was an amazing thing, he got for the community. Why? It was illegal because, whatever, it doesn't matter, but whatever. But let's just put it this way. When I had to pick it up, I had to go into like an empty backyard alleyway and he's like, Daniel, okay, here you go, this, you know, and again, whatever. It was like a drug transaction. I came home and I go, I got the eggs, yeah! And the kid's like, yeah, Dad, you're the best, man. I need the eggs. Okay. So. This is not going on, right? But come on now. So we couldn't find an egg. We couldn't find this, right? No toilet. Right? You hear a story of anyone be like, Nebuch, you heard what happened. They had no toilet paper. Everybody found toilet paper. Okay? Later. So I've gone already down into a level I shouldn't be. But Sukkot reminds us of the fact that we could be those people. I could be out on the street. I'm not so smart that I could have it. Stop doing that. You're outside in the elements and say, can you imagine if I lived all the... It sounds impossible to be true. And again, I don't dismiss the fact that it's hard to live under lockdown. You guys can't go out. And guys were telling me yesterday that they were able to start running. And like, you look for anything that's like, oh my God, fun. Like, I'm excited to go out with my wife to go to the only place you're allowed to go legally, you know, to go shopping for soup. I don't care, just to spend some time alone with my wife. My kids are crazy. Okay. I'm not saying it's easy. But that's the challenge. That's what Emunah is all about. And I think that Chazal tells us there's a direct correlation between the time that we're in. You see, when Elul comes, the pasuk that's, you know, Dirshu Hashem b'imatzeh, the shofar is blown and say, hey, God's here. He's here every month. But Elul, he comes down a little bit more. And then Rosh Hashanah comes, and the king gets coronated, and he's down even more. And then, I quoted this yesterday, Rav Bitterman says, Yom Kippur, he puts us on his shoulders. And now Yom Kippur's over. Chazal tell us it's almost, it's like a Shana Aleph challenge. It's almost impossible to sin between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And the guy's like, what? Are you kidding me? Mostly Yom Kippur. I did this and that, you know, especially when you're allowed to go out. What? Okay, but that's what it says. Because you're involved in mitzvahs. And then comes what Chazal tell us, Tzela de Menusa, the divine shadow of God. God says, meet me in the Sukkah. Just me and you, man. And you're supposed to have a feeling that's supposed to last with you the whole year. The businessman's challenge of saying, God's on, it's just me and God. You see, the only reason why we lie, steal, cheat, do everything we do in business is because we don't trust God enough. And we say, he doesn't know how much money I need. I need more. I got to challenge more. One of the great opportunities during COVID, you got to look at the positives, is I was able to hear a lot of Shabbat Shuvah dressers. Normally you hear one, right? You go to your rabbi. Here there was one Thursday night. There was Friday morning. I heard one Motzei Shabbos. It was great. So one of them, I heard how one of the great rabbis that I have this chus of davening in the shul, used to at least 10 months ago, Rabbi Yitzchak Ronis. So he spoke about, he sent me the Maor Makomos, that the Gemara that we've used before, Nasata v'nasat b'emunah, that first question that Hashem is going to ask you, is one of the yisodot of the Yomim Noraim. Do you believe in me? Do you believe that everything I give you is divine? And there's a reason why last year you made $250,000, now you only made $150,000 this year. I got you back. There's a challenge here. I'm not saying it's not easy. But we have to sit back and sit in the sukkah and say, God, I know you got my back. And I know sometimes it's not easy and I have challenges, but that's the holiday of sukkah. It's literally the businessman's holiday. It's the holiday for the person to be, you're not so great. You're not so amazing. You have a lot you could accomplish. Yes, and again, there's the schizophrenia. You are great. You're amazing. Yeah, but God's the greatest. You got to keep that in mind. Yeah.
Then don't you run into somewhat of an issue? How much am I supposed to go for? Should I even become a businessman in the first place, or should I just God will provide?
Excellent. Right. You go to the Kolo question, right? Yeah. So why can't I just learn Kolo? Hartstein said, just do that.
Maybe you'll be a billionaire. That's not how you can't.
100%. So one of the hardest things, and obviously there are a lot of svarim that speak about the topic of hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is an idea that, no, I have to try my best. And I'm fully in agreement. Listen, obviously I'm going to say this to you. We all believe that who we are, whatever you want to call yourself, I don't like the term on an Orthodox, honestly. I like to call myself a Torah Jew. But we think that we're the most correct. They're wrong and they're wrong. Both extremes are wrong, right? The Hasidim are wrong, the Haredim are wrong, and the non-religious are wrong. I'm the perfect extreme. But the idea is, Shtadlish means I got to try, but I can't try through lying, stealing, and cheating. Nobody says that I have to cheat on my taxes, that I have to say this, that, and the other, because, no, nobody agrees with it. Do you have to try hard? Do you have to go, yeah. At some point, you put your hands, I remember when, thank God, it should continue to be like this. I have not had to look for many jobs, meaning, I didn't have a very hard time finding jobs. But there was a time right before I joined the yeshiva in a full-time position, where Boaz was very convincing. I was interviewing at different jobs. So I had interviewed at one job. They're a famous company. I'll just say the name. Doesn't matter. Panaya, they're called. They're in Renana. And I don't know why, honestly. They liked me a lot, Panaya. But they were really annoying. I had 5 interviews there. And each interview was with different people. And finally, they made me a job offer. It wasn't bad, wasn't what I wanted. And they said, well, we can give you X more, but you got to meet with the CEO. And I'm like, I was just there last. And I remember driving, thank God, which would be the last time there. And there was horrible traffic. It's not easy. And I was going to actually be late for the meeting with the CEO, which turned out to be not good or turned out to be good. And I was thinking exactly your question, Hishtadlus. Do I really, come on, is this necessary? Hashem, do I? Should I just say after time number 3, and now every morning I'm going to have to wake up, I'm not used to this, and get in a car and travel over an hour every morning to work? Oy vey, I don't want to do that. Oh, do I have, is that what God wants of me? And thank God I came to the meeting late. There was so much traffic, and he was, thank God, super Israeli. And I sat there, and he made, sometimes Hashem makes the decision so easy for you. So so you always come late? This is what you do? You late guy all the time? I'm like, no. I said, I'm really sorry. There's a tremendous amount of traffic. And then your parking lot was full. And I go, oh, you make very excuses. Now you're in big trouble. Because I only ask you about you, and you can't ask about me. And I want to be like, I don't care about you, whatever. And he was just in a bad mood. And I actually still got the job offer, but it wasn't, they weren't going to give me the extra money because he didn't like me as much. And thank God I didn't take the job. But yes, the Shtalish question is always going to be a question. And I've made a mistake before. I was working for an amazing job in Eretz Yisrael, and I had the, quote unquote, the good life. And I'm keeping this on white, all right? Well, people should know this. I had the good life, right? I was able to, I was able to come home at night, put my kids to sleep, came home by 7 o'clock, and then I was able to run out and teach. I used to teach here at night in the yeshiva. It was like perfect for me. It was amazing. And then an amazing business opportunity came, where I was being offered becoming head of a company, president of a company, founder of a company. And the backers were big backers. Big money was in the company. It was like the greatest dream. But I said, I'm doing fine with this Ashtadlis part, right? This is an American salary. And thank God again for CEOs. I remember saying, it was very hard because I was working for this company and number one, I had done very well for firm people, because there wasn't so many from people there, and people liked me, and I actually gave a shiur there every week to Chilon. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And I went in to announce that I'm leaving. And it was very hard, because it was also at a point, I was the head of sales, and I had grown sales about 25%. So we were in a really good place, and the company was struggling. It wasn't an easy company. And I said to him, I'm really sorry, I have this challenge, whatever. And I remember this is so, only Israeli can do this. He looked at me and he goes, Daniel, you would fail. I'm like, what? He goes, not you. I mean, the company's going to fail. There's no way. But I still did it. And it wasn't a great story. It was a very sad story. I left the company and I had a great first few months. And then the company said, oh, we can't pay you right now because, you know, until we get this money and that money. No? And for, you know, a year later, they hadn't paid me for 10 months. And the company decided that the chief investor, who's a famous guy, said, I don't care. I'm not giving any more money. He just gave up on the company without us being able to do anything. So it's very hard. Thank God I got the money back some way, but whatever, not important for now. Some of the money. But that's the emunah of, did I do the, until today, maybe it was, maybe Hashem will sell me. That was the wrong, why don't you stay with this company? Whatever, it turned out the other company that I used to work for actually years later went bankrupt because I wasn't in the company anymore. But, no, I'm kidding. But, okay, that's the challenge. Anyway, I've gone too far, too long, I mean. Think about that when we think about this amazing holiday of Sukkot, Ba'aleinu L'Tova, the challenges that we have as business people.